WrestlingObserver.com.
My name is Damian Sandow, and I am here to help all of you. As your intellectual savior, I can no longer stand idly by and watch as you, the unwashed masses, plunge further into the bowels of your own inadequacies and shortcomings.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
No, no, no! This is supposed to be about me! This was supposed to be the greatest night of my life! And not only will I be the champion, but I will be the face of the WWE!
Featuring Sir Rockin.
Let me tell you something, you self-righteous little puke. I am an A-plus player. I always have been, and I always will be.
And Lindsay Ward.
I have shattered glass ceilings. I have broken down doors. I have done more in 1 year than all of you have done in your entire collective careers.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Gonna do when they come for you. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Raw Post Show, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented as always by PW Mania and Wrestling Figure Wednesday. Go to youtube.com/MBG1211 to see videos that Paul Heyman retweets and Facebooks and Wade Barrett retweets. Go to, once again, youtube.com/MBG1211. I'm Sir Rockin, the person who's anxious to talk as I keep talking and talking and talking and not letting her speak, Lindsay Ward.
What?
Nothing. You sounded like you're about to say something, so anyway.
No.
Okay.
Besides, Matt is very popular. Go Matt.
Go Matt. He's Mr. Big Time right now.
He is. I'm telling you, we want that Oscar mention.
We so do. So
we will angrily tweet you and Vine you and Facebook you if you don't, Matt. Just pointing that out.
We will start a riot.
We will. Like, we might even, you know, our Rock and myself and our friend Mark might even boycott.
Hi, I'm Mark Calloway. Anyway, we're getting to that in just a second. Alright, so she gave all the lines. That's how Monday Night Raw started with Triple H, and then he came out and did his announcement that wants to be, you know, someone to impress him, after he said all that stuff, on who should be the number one contender at SummerSlam. First person came out was Randy Orton. Hunter thought about it. Kane came out. He was tired of babysitting. Roman Reigns, he wanted to be thrown in the mix. And we had a fight. Hunter made a match. That was the opening segment. There's a little bit more to that, but that was the general gist of the segment.
Yeah, that was pretty much the opening segment. Hunter came out. He was a sassy asshole. Very, very, very entertaining. Basically held up his middle finger without actually holding up his middle finger to the internet smarks and made a match between Randy and Kane and Roman Reigns. It was spectacular.
It really, really was. And that's a shame they didn't put that audio up on WWE's YouTube, because that would have been awesome.
But, you know, that's kind of proof right there for everybody who thinks they don't listen to the internet. They do listen to the internet, and they laugh at us. That's proof. Right there, and this is not the first time this has happened. Hunter has mocked the internet more than once. I think it's his favorite thing to do.
He mocks the internet every single week. He loves it. He's the authority, so he gets to do it. So it's awesome. Anyways, nice opening segment. Crowd was hot. Hunter was awesome. And then we got a handicap match, Roman Reigns versus Kane and Randy Orton. Orton didn't really do much. It was basically Kane versus Reigns. At one point, Kane goes to reach for a tag. Orton just shakes and said no. Kane grabbed him by the throat. Reigns then landed a big shot to Kane, and then a spear. Roman Reigns beats Randy Orton, and Kane basically beats Kane.
Yeah, pretty much.
Good start to the show. We're rolling here. Rolling.
It was a nice follow-up to last night's main event, and just kind of teased that tension between Randy and Kane, so I have a funny feeling that we're going to get Randy and Kane going off against each other.
I have a feeling that's going to come at some point, yeah.
But we might get Randy and Roman first.
No, I think we get Kane and Orton first, and then, well, we'll talk about that in a bit. So backstage, the heels, Alicia Fox, Rosa Mendes, Eva Marie, and Cameron, four most random heel divas of all time, are getting ready for their big handicap match, and Stephanie walked in and basically gave them a nice big pep talk about being Nikki Bella tonight. Steph is
pretty
awesome.
Pretty much, yeah. This is what happens when AJ is face, Paige hasn't turned yet, and Summer and Layla are together trying to screw over Fandango. This is exactly what happens. But I'm kind of okay. And Naomi isn't with Cameron anymore. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of
okay. I think she was the only diva not on Raw tonight.
Who?
Naomi.
No, she was in the segment with Flo Rida.
Was she?
Mm-hmm.
I must have missed that. Oops. I made food during Flo Rida. But we'll get back to that later. So, the heels are in the ring. Nikki Bella's out. Hey, I see someone. It's Brie. She's in the crowd.
Oh my god, it's Brie!
What in the world is Brie Bella doing at Monday Night Raw? I think she has a ticket. But, Miss McMahon, not too happy.
And Brie's sitting on the front row watching this. That's gotta make Nikki feel a lot better. Well, maybe not. Well, that was obviously as big a surprise to Stephanie as it was to us.
Oh, look! It's the quitter! Brie Bella, my favorite Bella. Nikki, I love how you feigned surprise to see her. That was awesome. It's so interesting to see you out here. When you think that you went from being a world-famous diva, one of the biggest stars on E's Total Divas, to being just another face in the crowd. I mean, it's actually quite fitting. And why? Why are you in this position? Oh, that's right, because you abandoned your sister, Nikki, for your husband, Daniel Bryan, the B-plus player. Yes, Daniel Bryan was stripped of the WWE World Heavyweight Championship and has been on the shelf ever since. Good move, Brie. That was really smart. But truthfully, I'm so glad you're out here because now you get to watch Nikki get demolished by four other competitors in the ring. And I hope that you know, when you think about it, that it's all because of you.
For the record, she said bitch. They censored it. Anyway.
What did you call me? Security. Eject this woman. Oh, that's cute. You're a paying customer. You have a ticket. Well, I tell you what, you're blocking the view of the people behind you. So take your seat, Bree. Or
you're doing this out of spite. You're doing this because I've left my handprint on your face, and you're taking it out of my sister. What kind of human being are you, huh? I'll tell you who you are. You are a vindictive...
So, again, it was the word bitch, and Stephanie slapped Brie Bella. She attacked a fan, Lindsay.
She did attack a fan. A paying customer.
You just don't attack a paying customer. It's gonna bite you in the ass. I have this feeling. Call me crazy.
You're crazy.
Well, yeah, but that's besides the point. So, good stuff. Nikki lost to the heels. I think that was very evident. And what made Tim happy, we had a Nikki Bella nipple slip.
Yes, we did.
Tim was right on top of that one.
Why am I not surprised?
So.
Why is it like whenever a woman's nipple comes out, Tim is like literally right there?
It explains why the screen went black.
Yes.
So, up next, the inspirational Bo Dallas taking on Damian Sandow, who came out dressed as LeBron James and was very happy to have moved to Cleveland. Sandow was awesome in that.
Bo was not happy his line got stolen.
Yeah, Sandow said Bo leave. That's my line. So he said if Bo is smart, he'll leave just like LeBron did. So we had a solid matchup between Bo Dallas and Damian LeBron Sal. And yeah, good stuff. Bo Dog for the victory. The one moment Sandow goes for the elbow of disdain, it says, "Cleveland, I'm coming home." Missed. And then when Bo Dallas won, he jumped so high for joy. He's so cheesy.
And then it was jiggle, 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 jiggle.
Yes, it was.
Bo was like an over-exuberant 5-year-old trapped in an grown man's body. It's like, he's so cheesy. It's so stupid. But I swear to God, I can't help but smile and laugh whenever I see his stupid face. It's just, I don't know.
He can turn it. If you're having a really sour day, just listen to Bo Dallas for like 5 minutes.
He will make you laugh your ass off just from the stupidity of it.
Exactly. So we go from Bo to his bro. Bray,
no.
What?
No, Bray, put those rumors to rest. They're not brothers.
They're not actually brothers. In some way, they're not really, but they really are. Anyway, Bray Wyatt is up next, as he is the guest on the Highlight Reel.
And these guys are smiling.
Hello, everyone! And welcome to the Highlight Reel! Unfortunately, your scheduled host, Chris Jericho, is unable to make it at the moment. He's a bit indisposed. And now, where, oh where, could Chris Jericho be? I wonder.
Again, this was on the WWE app moments ago. Jericho was being interviewed and he was attacked by Bray Wyatt, Harper, and Rowan. And this is taking place in Chris Jericho's locker room. These guys went in Chris's locker room and did this assault, this attack.
Yeah, 3-on-1 assault by the Wyatt family.
Jericho at this point, guys, just helpless.
That thud you heard was the sister Abigail into the lockers. Ow. Ow.
Yeah, it looked like it hurt.
Yeah. And he had a bloody ear coming off of that. Anyway, we shall continue with the highlight reel.
Sooner or later, they all fall down. Now, where is Chris Jericho? Where is your savior? Surprise, surprise. He ain't here for you. But you know who is? I am. I am here for you just like I have been every day since I have been around. And I know what you're thinking. I can read your thoughts. I know that y'all think that because last night Chris Jericho had his arm raised at the end of the night, that you believe that he is a better man than I. Do you really believe that I would burden myself with such petty, squeamish things? A loss in a battle means nothing to me. Because I know that it is the war that counts. And now war, that's my game, man. I created war. And it wasn't so long ago that the Wyatt family entered a WWE ring for the very first time. And in our short reign of terror, we have dismantled giants. We have destroyed monsters. And most importantly of all, we have brought so-called heroes to their knees. And I ask you right now, Chris Jericho, just who in the hell is it you really think you're dealing with, man? I am Bray Wyatt, the eater of worlds. And I am every bit the monster that they all think I am. You will find, Chris, that you cannot measure me like you measure a normal man. You cannot measure me by how much dollar bills I have in my pocket, because society is my plaything. You cannot measure me by the days of the year, because time is irrelevant to me. I live 100 years a day, man. And there's been something ever since last night. It's been reoccurring over and over my head, and I can't shake it. It's something that Abigail used to say to me. She used to say, be careful going out and chasing vengeance, Bray. Because if you do, you'll need to dig 2 graves. One for your enemy, and one for yourself. But unfortunately for you, Chris Jericho, I am forever.
Just go.
That was magnificent. He's an ass. He's such a magnificent ass. But oh my god, that was just wow. How do you follow up that match last night? That's kind of how you follow that up and you fix that. And Bray Wyatt proves once again, he doesn't give a damn about wins or losses. I still say he needs a big win, but that's one way to recover it, is he just goes out there and cuts a really big promo and kills Chris Jericho backstage, which was kind of an interesting thing to see, because there was this, if you didn't see it, there's this moment where Jericho and Wyatt are just looking at each other for a second. Like, Jericho's standing there doing an interview, and then Wyatt and the boys walk in, and they're just standing there, and there's this back-and-forth glances for, like, just, like, what, 5 seconds?
Yeah.
And they're kind of waiting to see who's going to jump first. And Wyatt jumps first and goes after Jericho and just beats the crap out of him. So, I'm looking forward to a more physical feud, and possibly the next match being way more physical than what last night was. Last night was kind of a wrestling match.
I said it last night, and I'll say it again tonight and on Thursday. They held back at Battleground. SummerSlam. They will go for it. And we'll talk more about Battleground this Thursday night at the brand new start time of The Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. So tune in for that.
What did you think?
About the segment, it was awesome. He, as you said, he was fantastic at what he does. I think I tweeted it or put it in some sort of chat. This is how you rebound from Battleground. This is the moment you needed to really get this feud going. I think I put that on Tumblr. You really got the feud going with this, because you had the Wyatts do what they do, attack somebody, and then you had Bray Wyatt go into Chris Jericho's environment and kill it. Like, he killed it.
Oh, yeah. It's like, follow that up if you can. Which Jericho can. I mean, that's what I'm kind of waiting with this feud that we haven't quite gotten yet. They've teased it.
I just thought of a moment, and I'm not going to put it out, because if I say it, someone's going to be the mullet, put it out there.
Well, fine, put it in the chat box. But I'm waiting for that war of words between Bray and Jericho that we know is coming. It's like, it's a war of ideologies, it's a war of life choices and lifestyles, really. And you can tell, based on especially tonight, Bray is really, and I mean really, sinking his teeth into this one. He's enjoying it. You can tell, because he's fired up. There's something different about this. There's a different energy about this than there is with Cena. And I think it's just that he's going to get to do more in this than he did with Cena. And to be fair, he did a lot with Cena. But I think Jericho's going to be the one that's willing to go that extra step with him and do those dangerous matches and actually go for it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was the one thing with Cena was, like, Cena kind of went for it, but he didn't.
Yeah, that's true.
Payback was, like, the first time Cena really went for it, because they held back at Mania a little bit. They held back at Extreme Rules.
I disagree at WrestleMania. They really went out at WrestleMania, because they told a really good story. But Extreme Rules, they did hold back.
I just always, I don't know. I still say the match at Mania could have been a lot better, a lot stronger, and that's not to be saying that they didn't do a good job at Mania. I just feel like there could have been more to it.
Oh, yeah, there could have.
Was.
Oh, there really could have, yeah.
So that's my only thing. It was a very strong match. It was a good match. I've watched it back several times. I'm not saying that, you know, I think it was horrible, but I just, for me, that first match, it's that first encounter between the two. You really had high expectations, especially since it was WrestleMania, and it just, to me, didn't quite deliver. Jericho and Bray didn't quite deliver last night. I was waiting for a brawl. I was waiting for a fight. They did a good job. It was a good match. But I'm waiting for that war of words and that real battle between the two, and it's coming at SummerSlam.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't wait for it. It's going to be awesome and epic.
And Jericho's retaliation is going to be nothing short of epic.
Oh, it has to be at this point. I do like the, I like how he was humming. He's got the whole world in his hands as he left the locker room. It was a nice touch by Bray Wyatt. So, we go from there to our next contest of the evening, which was a really good match. The Miz versus Dolph Ziggler.
It was a good match. It was a long match. It kind of slowed the show down. Because, again, it was a long match, but they did very well together. They worked really well together. Miz looked weird coming out in a full suit minus a shirt.
Yeah, and then he took it all off to have be in tights.
Yeah, it's just a little weird.
Yeah. But it's working for him. The finish was really good. They countered each other for a while. Ziggler hit the zigzag and beat the Miz. Yes, Dolph Ziggler wins on Monday Night Raw.
But still, your Intercontinental Champion, the Miz.
Hoorah.
Well, that's how they announced it.
It is how they announced it. Triple H is backstage telling Seth Rollins he doesn't need to face John Cena at SummerSlam. He's holding all the cards with the Money in the Bank briefcase. Rollins said he can't play his hand if Dean Ambrose keeps interrupting. Rollins stopped mid-sentence when Cesaro walked in and said he wants to be the guy to challenge Cena at SummerSlam. And he made a business decision. He is no longer a Heyman guy.
Plot thickens.
He wants to be a Hunter guy. And then Rollins took on and said, Hunter already has a guy, so now they're feuding over, you know. That's going to be awkward. Rollins and Cesaro feuding over Hunter, just saying. But there's unfinished business. Cesaro, if he wants to prove himself, he gets to face Dean Ambrose tonight.
Hi.
AJ Lee and Paige, the frenemies, take on Emma and Natalya. So Lindsay mentioned earlier how there's all the heels together. That's what happens when all the heels are together. You now have four faces in a match. Solid match. AJ and Paige pick up the victory as Natty tapped out to the Black Widow. Good stuff,
but what the good stuff happened after the match.
So the frenemies celebrate, and then Paige turns. Pulls down the hair, gives her a headbutt, tosses her out of the ring, throws her into the barricade, throws her over the announce table, all while saying, "This is my house." What a beatdown by Paige.
Oh, it was tremendous. Oh, it was great. AJ just got her ass handed to her.
And I said this last night, and I said they were holding back. Well, she wasn't holding back tonight.
No, not in the least. Nope. Yeah, last night they held back a little bit. Tonight, not so much.
Because we were sitting here talking as we were watching the match, and I was telling Lindsay, it was like, she's holding back. It just seems off. She's not going for it. She went for it tonight. Paige is now the heel. Should be fun.
Definitely should be fun.
Fandango takes on Zack Ryder. Zack Ryder had Summer Rae and Layla, the Slayers or something like that?
I
don't know, something to that effect. Either way, breaking news, Zack Ryder won. I know, everyone is in total shock. Zack Ryder won.
So he got his one win for the year?
Yes, he has filled his quota. He got on Raw, he got kissed by women, and he won a match. He's finished for the evening. for the year, rather. Now I can go back being the Money. So, there was that. Renee Young interviewed Flo Rida. He got interrupted by Heath Slater. And Slater got shoved down. Heath, you don't mess with Flo Rida. Or as you call him, Florida.
I'm white. What do you want?
Not you. I meant Heath. Heath calls him Florida. Not you.
Well, I occasionally call him Florida, too.
So
I'm sorry. What? Okay.
Anyway, so in the moment of the night, Flo Rida performs a medley of his songs. Yay! Woohoo! Exciting! Now we should mention Stephanie McMahon introduced Flo Rida. And then said, once again, give it up for Flo Rida. As she was leaving the ring, Stephanie McMahon was sort of greeted by a couple of cops?
Yep.
So Stephanie McMahon was arrested live on WWE Monday Night Raw. I don't know what to really say about that.
I do.
Okay.
Oh. this was brilliant. Abso-freaking-brilliant. This was so well done, so well played, and I loved how Stephanie's getting hauled off, and she's going, well, she hit me first, what about my right to self-defense? Steph, your right to self-defense doesn't count if it's a month after the fact. Just pointing that out. Technically, you started a whole new incident. Because, you know, you hit her first. And she tried to hit back, but she, I don't think she connected. At least not fully.
And that would be self-defense.
That would be, yeah, Bree attacking Steph was self-defense. Steph attacking Bree was not. But Steph was provoked. But still, this was great. This is this consequence thing that I keep harping on. That WWE and other wrestling companies out there don't necessarily always follow up on when you have anybody attack anybody else and there's never any consequences for it. You just see people getting attacked and it's okay. Brie Bella was in the crowd. She had presumably bought a ticket or had been given a ticket by her sister.
She showed the ticket.
She showed the ticket. It was there on national television. Stephanie McMahon then attacked Brie Bella, who was there as a private person, not as an employee of the WWE. And even as an employee, it's not okay to do this. But as a private person, as a fan, Stephanie attacked Brie. So what does Brie do? She goes and gets the cops. And files a formal complaint with the police, resulting in the arrest of Stephanie McMahon. And they haul her off to jail. This was great. It was just really, really well done. It was a nice follow-up. We saw Stephanie get hauled out in handcuffs. She gets put in the back of the police car. They drive off with her. You know, you had the cops show their badges. It was just really nice.
Well, you might hear a little bit of what we just heard, but here's a little bit more.
McMahon's family's going to bring its wrath down on Miami Police Department.
Blame Brie Bella!
Hey, let me just tell you, you guys had better be sure of this, huh? These are called career decisions. Career decisions, right? Think about them. Career decisions.
No!
Steph, just calm down. Calm down.
All right. Meet her at the station.
I will need you to calm down. Is this a hybrid? You guys must be proud of yourself.
Oh, Hunter, you ass. You were so not helping the situation, any.
No, he really, really wasn't.
But yeah, this was a... I would love to see them do more of this kind of stuff on the show, just because it adds that touch of realism that it's...
This is the reality era.
Yes, and it's something of Steph and Hunter can not necessarily get away with it because these people are their employees, but they sort of have that leeway because these people are their employees and they don't want to risk Hunter and Steph's wrath by getting fired. Now, because Brie Bella no longer works for the company, in quotations, she can get away with it because she's not going to necessarily see any repercussions.
Nope.
Her sister and Brian might feel them, but Brie will not. So Brie has no problem calling the cops on Steph. But I really like this. I like how they're starting to build, or I should say continuing to build, that intensity between Steph and Brie to where they're just going to go. It's coming, y'all, where we're going to see Stephanie versus Brie Bella.
Probably for her job at SummerSlam. So we are backstage in Hunter's office. He's packing his bag. He's ready to leave. Jerry Mercury stops him and asks him, "What about the fight? I know it's bad time, but what's the decision for SummerSlam?" He shouts, "This is about his wife and his mother's children. It's about his family." And then he thought about it. Wait, well, she has to be processed, right? She still has to get printed and processed. So, just get the car ready. Put it on standby. I'll make the decision and then I'll go. I got some time.
Oh, Hunter. That's a bad call. This is the woman you have to live with for the rest of your life. Just pointing that out is probably not the smartest of decisions to delay. Just, you know, pointing that out.
Pointing that one out, yeah. So, we then have Kofi Kingston and Big E Langston taking on Ryback. Ryback won. Then Xavier Woods, out of nowhere in a white and red suit, shows up, tells them they can't move the ladder by shaking hands or playing nice. Basically said, together they will find a purpose and they will no longer ask. They will take.
A lot of people are comparing this to the Nation of Domination. Basically, it's the new nation. Which, I can see that. I liked Woods' promo. It was very passionate. You could feel that he was really feeling it. The white suit was a bit much, but you could definitely tell he was channeling Malcolm X there, which is not a bad thing. And I liked it. There was just a really kind of awkward cut afterwards, where something didn't feel right with it, you know?
Yeah. I'm with you. I will say this, Woods can talk, so if he's going to be a manager, by all means, that works for me.
I think he'll probably be manager/wrestler, but he may not wrestle as much as E in Kofi.
Yeah.
Unless they find a fourth.
Which they could. So Lana comes out with Rusev. He's favoring his ankle. She's about to talk. Up came Kali, so they didn't let her talk tonight. Which would have probably been smart.
Mm-hmm.
Rusev crushed Kali.
Yes, he did.
It was fine.
It was fine. I don't understand, I think, what the all the hubbub is about Lana, because if you actually listened to the promo that she cut last night, she definitely walked the line. She said current events. She did not mention anything regarding a plane crash or anything else. She just referenced current events. So it's like they walked a line last night. Do they deserve a little flack for it? Probably. Do they deserve as much as they're getting? No.
No.
Because she didn't say anything directly. They know better than to let her walk out there, especially given the sponsorships that they have, given their TV rating. They're not going to let her walk out there and make a tasteless joke about a plane that just went down.
Yeah. So Rusev won via the accolade. Cody and Goldust channeled Willy Wonka.
It was creepy.
He said, it needs us and it will soon call their names. I would assume the tag titles, but that's just me guessing on that one.
Possibly.
Or as we talked about on WTR last night, Dusty Rhodes in latex.
No. Just no.
Yeah, you went around for that. That's a mental image right there.
I was asleep, thank God.
Now you have the mental image. Dusty Rhodes.
No, I don't. I am blocking that. So.
Face paint.
So blocking that.
The face paint.
Nope.
The jiggling.
Nope.
If you will.
Nope. Not picturing it.
Yes, you are.
So not picturing it. Yes, I'll let you dream about that.
Now we'll let Kane Kins dream all about that one with John Madden. Anyway, Dean Ambrose takes... Dean Ambrose takes on Cesaro. Good match.
Yeah, a really good match. Until Dean just lost his shit.
Yeah. He smacked him with a chair, causing a disqualification, and threw some chairs in the ring. Good finish, because you shouldn't have either one lose at this point. Solid match. this was your main event on Dean Ambrose and Cesaro was your main event on Monday Night Raw.
I'm okay with this.
So that will do it for this week's edition of Monday Night Raw post show. Oh, wait, the decision.
The decision. The oh-so-important decision.
Oh, right, the decision. So, Renee Young asked Triple H as he was walking out of his office, shouldn't you be with your wife? This is where we have the Triple H stare. And then we have the main event segment. Triple H is out, and he announces that it's time to give the decision. Just like LeBron James, it's time to give a decision. And it's going to be the man who will challenge John Cena for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Out comes Randy Orton. Yay! Orton versus Cena! Woohoo!
Wait.
Hey, that's Roman. What's Roman doing here? Roman and Orton brawl. So I guess the goal is you have to get into the ring to get the title shot. Because if Orton was actually the contender, it didn't matter if he actually got in the ring. But apparently you have to get into the ring to become the contender.
I don't quite think that's it, but okay.
It's the only thing that makes sense. Anyway. So, you have Hunter going, what's next? So out came Paul Heyman, who's basically said, well, appears plan A isn't going to work, because, Roman's going to be around, and plan B, Seth Rollins, won't work, but he's great, but Dean Ambrose is going to be there every time he catches in. So... maybe he should do plan C. The uncomfortable decision. Brock Lesnar. So Brock Lesnar comes to the ring. Hunter shakes hands with Payman and Lesnar. And then Mr. Heyman picked up a microphone.
Correct. And personally, I think Triple H despises Brock Lesnar. Are you kidding me? The decision...
they're sealing the deal. Yeah, the Beast Incarnate's going to take on John Cena for the WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Paul Heyman, and my client, Brock Lesnar. Which is why, at this moment, my client hereby officially announces his intention to conquer John Cena and take the WWE World Heavyweight Championship at SummerSlam. Now, my client officially acknowledges this divide that permeates through the WWE universe. There are those who wear their green t-shirts and their pump-up sneakers, and they scream with great passion their love and adulation for their hero by saying at the top of their lungs, "Let's go, Cena!" And there are those who offer the contrarian opinion and whose mommies don't tuck them into bed at night, and they will say with great fervor and passion, Cena sucks! Now, it doesn't matter to my client which side of the fence you want to ride on. This malpracticing doctor of thugonomics is in for the beating of a lifetime. I don't just stand out here and spew hype and hyperbole. I exploit historical facts to shove my points down your throats. To wit, I offer you what happened the last time my client, Brock Lesnar, zeroed in on someone and decided to give them a beating.
This is where I told Lindsay to cover her eyes.
I'll never get away from it. Ever.
So they show the thing.
I want to be the one to beat The Undertaker and snap the streak, but that wasn't good enough for Brock Lesnar. At WrestleMania, my client, Brock Lesnar, gave such a violent beating to The Undertaker that Vince McMahon had a ride in the ambulance to the hospital with The Undertaker because even our heartless chairman was concerned for a dead man's well-being and life. Oh, John Cena, that same beating awaits you. And please don't confuse my client with some stereotypical villain that comes out here and say, John, you can escape this beating by giving up your title and laying it down at my feet. Brock Lesnar makes you no such offer. John Cena, you can escape this beating! At SummerSlam, my client, Brock Lesnar, will take John Cena down. Brock Lesnar will punch John Cena's face in. John Cena, you are going to be hurt by Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar is going to injure John Cena. Brock Lesnar is going to mangle John Cena, and then... and only then, Brock Lesnar is going to F5 John Cena and strip John Cena of the dignity of being the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. The same way Brock Lesnar stripped The Undertaker of his dignity and exposed the streak as just being a myth. The same myth that Brock Lesnar hears every week on television when John Cena is referred to as being the greatest WWE champion of all time. 15 world titles in 10 years. Now that sounds like something worth conquering. I pledge allegiance to the greatness of the conqueror who stands before me, and to his dominance for which I stand. One C Nation under John, now divisible with no more hustle, loyalty, or respect for all. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Paul Heyman, and I'm the one behind the one in 21-1. And at SummerSlam, my client, Brock Lesnar, will beat John Cena and become the WWE Heavyweight Champion of the World!
Yeah. If you need to know how to cut a promo, see that.
The pledge at the end.
Oh god, it was amazing.
There are no words, and it was lucky I was able to grab said audio.
Did it already get pulled?
No, it hasn't even been put up yet.
Oh. Yeah, this was a thing of complete beauty. And you just hand Paul Heyman a microphone and you just let him go. And I am not interested in this match at all. I could really care less about it. But that was a fantastic promo by Heyman. Just absolutely amazing. That's Paul Heyman at his best.
And at SummerSlam, just like at Extreme Rules 2012, we are in for a fight.
I hope so.
Because that's the match you want, that's the match you need, and I believe that's the match we're gonna get.
Yeah. Brock really only has one style, and that's kill. Brock Smash, as we've seen. When he tries to do a straight-up wrestling match, it just doesn't work. So, I hope we get that brawl between Cena and Brock. I hope we get it.
SummerSlam is gonna shaping up to be an up-and-down loaded show full of physical violence.
Oh, yes.
And that shall do it for the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're here live every Monday night once Monday Night Raw ends. So if you're listening for the first time, thank you for tuning in. And you can catch us all week long with a variety of programming right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network at wildtalkradio.com, where you can listen anytime on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just get the app, search for Wild Talk Radio Network on TuneIn Radio. Thursday night, when we're back live on the air at 10 p.m. Eastern, it is The Rack.
That's right. Tune in, because we're going to be talking all about WWE Battleground, what we liked, what we didn't like. We're also going to be talking about NXT. We will, of course, have news, a discussion, and our infamous question of the night. So tune in, because you definitely don't want to miss that.
You can follow that show on Twitter at WTR_Rack and Facebook.com/WTRTheRack. Saturday night, midnight-ish, the CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual, Joe, myself, Rob Parks, Subway, and the part-time player himself, Ace. As we go over it all, have some fun. We'll talk about Battleground. We have two Blame Robs in the can already, and so much more to come. It's weird, it's wacky, it's unusual. Last week was a man and his sticky super glue. This week, who the hell knows? It's CB Radio Midnight. Follow the show on Twitter at CB Radio WTR and Facebook.com/cigarette butts and bandanas. Yes?
Rob's been busy.
He was. Like, it took him 4 days last week. He went old and young on Sunday. Anyway, speaking of Sunday, it is WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern with Tim Stein, Mace, and Omega. They'll cover the week in pro wrestling. Follow the show on Twitter at WTR Sunday Night and Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. Follow Tim on Twitter at GoNHLGo. Follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio and Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork.
Is this where I'm supposed to go?
That would be you.
Okay. You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check that out. And also, if you want to view my artwork, because I have done some wrestling stuff, it's been on the WWE app a couple times, you know, three, you can check that out at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitter.
She's modest about being on the WWE app. It's awesome when she is.
Mm-hmm.
She's kind of a big deal. Thanks to PWMania.com and Wrestling Figure Wednesday, YouTube.com/MBG1211 for the proud sponsors of this very program. As always, we'll be back next Monday night for the Raw Post Show right after Monday Night Raw. What the hell's Twitter, Tim? What the hell's Twitter? Tell me. I forget. Is it Men With Food? I think it's at Men With Food on Twitter.
Mm.
He says, follow the man kitchen. I forget the Twitter. I think it's at Men With Food.
I don't know.
I forget. And I created it. Anyway. I think that's it. He hasn't said anything. Okay, it is at Men With Food. I said like 5 times. At Men With Food. Follow it on the Twitters. So, for Lindsay, I'm Rock. We're out of time. We'll see you next Monday. And see you Thursday night for the Raw Post Show. Or The Rock, rather. Wildtalkradio.com.